This is the best of rain for March 23, 2019. I'm Will Rogers, K5WLR. This week we return to the year 1997. Congress got off to a decidedly rocky start that year. First, the Republican Speaker of the House, Newt Gingrich, was targeted for ethics violations. Then Democrat Jim McDermott stepped down as House Ethics Committee Chairman for divulging a tape recording of a cellular phone call involving Gingrich. In the latter incident, a Florida couple reportedly intercepted and taped a cellular phone call made by Newt Gingrich, turned it over to McDermott, who in turn released it to the New York Times for publication. Just what federal laws were broken, if any? RAIN founder Hap Holly picks it up from here.
In 1986, I first interviewed Ben Cobb, KC5CW, about pending legislation that became known as the Electronic Communications Privacy Act. The ECPA serves as a privacy umbrella today, prohibiting the reception of various radio services, including cellular phone calls. Ben Cobb is editor and publisher of The Spectrum Guide, a handbook of the radio spectrum. He's also a telecommunications reporter for several industry publications in Washington, D.C.
In order to be equipped with the tools to better understand what happens in this case and similar cases, because there have been similar cases, not only concerning cellular but other radio services too, where someone has charged that somebody should not listen, cannot listen, cannot receive a radio transmission. How do we deal with this? Well, in this particular case, there's at least four elements, Hap, that I see. First, the modification of a receiver. Two, the reception of a radio signal or the interception of a radio signal. And it's important that we use these words carefully. Three, the recording of a telephone call. And four, unauthorized disclosure of a radio transmission, disclosure to parties who were not part of that transmission. So let's take these in turn. First, it has been reported or alleged that a modified scanner was used to receive a cellular phone transmission. In 1993, the FCC adopted regulations that make it unlawful to manufacture and market a radio scanner capable of picking up the frequency bands used by the cellular telephone. Also, frequency converters that might downconvert, for example, 800, 900 megahertz communications down converted to, say, 450 megahertz UHF. As I read it, I think it's pretty unambiguous that in that 1993 decision, the FCC also prohibited the frequency converters. And as I'm sure you know, Hap, these converters are widely available on the market today. The scanners are not. The scanner manufacturers, in order to obtain FCC approval to put their product on the market, have to demonstrate under these regulations that it does not receive the cellular bands. However, some models of scanner can be modified. It is easier to modify the older units than it is the more recent models.
There are those who say, however, if you tune in the second harmonic,
right,
that you could still hear cellular calls even on an unmodified or currently type-accepted non-cellular receiver.
Exactly. This was completely ignored by the FCC, and it should not be surprising because the FCC was not commanded by Congress to look into that particular question. The FCC did only what Congress commanded it to do. Congress passed a law requiring the FCC to ban scanners that tune the fundamental cellular transmission in the 800 megahertz spectrum. The reception of images, harmonics, so forth and so on, that is way over the head of Congress. And I simply don't see much attention being paid to that. Also, television sets that tune above channel 70 pick up cellular just fine. I own a television set made in 1983. It is a superior cellular phone receiver. It picks up other 800 megahertz transmissions because that whole spectrum above channel 80 was devoted to mobile communications and taken away from television a number of years ago, was reallocated. It is still available, and there are millions of sets out there. This is almost always overlooked in the general press, in the reporting of these kinds of issues. The second point is this issue of reception or interception. I think it's interesting to be attuned to this word interception, because this is the emotional word that is used most often, illegal interception. This word interception conjures up ideas of a spy skulking about in the telephone closet with a flashlight and headphones, tapping into wires, breaking in to facilities, illegal equipment, criminal behavior. These kinds of ideas are associated with the word interception. The word reception is a much less threatening word. We receive a radio program. We receive a television program. We receive a radio signal. And as anybody who operates a scanner knows, or for that matter, a TV that's tuned to any channel, you are receiving. There's not a lot that's similar to this hideous, criminal, objectionable interception. But to beef up and to charge up the emotion and to lobby the congressman that we've got to do something about this illegal interception, the word interception is used, and the word reception is never used. I remember vividly demonstrating an auto patch call on my 2-meter VHF handy to staff members of the House Judiciary Committee. I made an auto patch call to a friend of mine who was a ham. We demonstrated it. We talked for a minute, and we terminated the patch. And they asked me how many people were able to hear that call. And I said, I don't know, 100, 1,000, who knows, whoever's listening to the repeater at this time. And they said, no, it is not reception, it's interception. They are intercepting your private call, as if to command me to not use the word reception, which sounds like a normal, calm word, but instead they preferred the dangerous word.
And of course, interception makes the assumption that it is with malicious intent.
Also very true. So let's beware of how the thing is reported and what kind of a word is used.
I'm speaking with Ben Cobb, KC5CW, regarding the flap surrounding the taping of a cellular phone call involving Speaker of the House Newt Gingrich. Its release to the House Ethics Committee and subsequent transcription published in the New York Times. We'll be right back. This is the Rain Report.
You're listening to the Rain Report from www.therainreport.com.
In the most recent changes to the ECPA, as reported by Frank Terranella and 2IGO, who's the author of the Listener's Law book, a very good book on this subject, all radio communications are deemed not accessible to the public, or not readily accessible to the public, except for a certain limited number of exceptions. Exceptions are ham radio, citizens band, general mobile radio service, broadcasting, such as regular radio and TV broadcasting, police, fire. Unless it is not in this short list, it is not readily accessible to the public. It doesn't matter how easy it is to pick up. In fact, one of the most common tools for picking up someone else's cellular radio transmission is a cellular phone itself. Because the network is not perfect, interference occurs, improper call switching occurs, especially at peak traffic times, and you may have your conversation replaced with someone else's. It happens all the time. And that is, of course, not lawful, presumably. But if it's an accident, then maybe you can avoid being sent to Sing Sing. So the ECPA provides that radio communications are not readily accessible unless they're in the short list, and cellular is most definitely not in that short list. And as we know also, it is against the FCC rules to operate a product that requires FCC authorization but doesn't have it or has been modified so that it violates the version of the product that was accepted by the FCC. That's in Part 15.1 of the FCC rules. Part 15 also contains in another section, 15.9, a prohibition against eavesdropping. You cannot use a Part 15 device, which a scanner is, to do any kind of eavesdropping. I don't remember seeing in more than 10 years of covering the FCC any prosecutions brought under Part 15. In fact, I would imagine that the FCC commissioners probably don't even know these things are in Part 15. Part 15 is an obscure, backwater, little understood, highly technical part of the FCC regulations, and it simply does not get a lot of political attention at a high level. But if we used a device in Part 15 and modified it, that would seem to implicate that Part 15.1 and that operation was not allowed. Now, under the ECPA, however, although cellular may not be on that list of exemptions, the ECPA provides that a penalty or a violation only occurs when there is an intentional interception. And intention is a high standard. Frank Terranella, as well as other legal scholars who've looked at this, insist that you have to demonstrate a high level of intention for a violation to occur. For example, a targeting, perhaps a beam antenna aimed at a particular transmitter. The effort to find a particular channel, to target an individual, these kinds of things are intentional. This is a higher standard of culpability than what's called willfulness. Willfulness just means it wasn't an accident. Intentional means you intended to do it, you planned to do it, and so forth. That is something that one would hope the courts and the government, Justice Department, would take into account. Because if you are tuning across the bands and you hear this transmission or that transmission on the crowded airwaves, is it intentional that you picked up this transmission or that transmission? I think that's a good question to ask. The third element is recording of a phone call. And state laws have long had provisions, and they differ in different states, as to whether it's lawful to record a phone conversation. Do you need to have permission of everyone on the call? Do you need to have permission only of one person on the call? What if there are several people in on the conference call, as was the case in this cellular phone call? Of course, nobody knew that their call was being received and recorded, presumably. But that is a separate matter.
Oh, wait a minute, you say it's a separate matter.
Right.
But it obviously is a major sticky point in this whole issue, though.
Sure. But I guess what I'm suggesting, Hap, is that maybe a prosecution might be brought for recording, but it will be reported as if it was a prosecution for illegal radio interception. Some of the news stories I've seen have concluded flatly that what was done was a violation of numerous laws. That's not clear. It's not clear to the FBI yet. And if the FBI hasn't decided yet, I don't understand why newspapers are deciding it, particularly when this issue of intent and whether the receiver was modified or not and so forth, these technical issues that an amateur would probably understand, but the general public is not going to understand. I think the whole thing is likely to be swept into one basket, and that is, you shouldn't be listening to these radio frequencies. This has happened in other cases. There was a case, a celebrated case, not too long ago, where an individual was prosecuted for supposedly having access to a police department's radio frequencies. He had radios. There was the allegation that he sold radios that could pick up a police trunked radio system. And the city or county government, as well as a major manufacturer of radio equipment, alleged that he had no business tuning into those frequencies. Who is to say that you do not have a right or a reason to tune into particular radio frequencies? These were not cellular frequencies. They were a police department. And the ECPA explicitly exempts police and these type of public safety communications. But this is an arcane, obscure fact that most people don't know. And a big publicity campaign was put out to make this individual look like a monster for listening to police as if there were some party who could decide whether or not you had business listening to this or that radio frequency. The recent reporting on the cellular case has already said that people who listen to cellular transmissions are sick, perverted voyeurs. And it's this kind of publicity that can't help the radio hobby. People have been listening to radio as long as there's been radio itself. All kinds of signals are available. Aircraft, radio, police dispatch, non-cellular mobile phone, cellular mobile phone, amateur radio, and God knows what else. I think it's pretty interesting that as soon as 800 megahertz cellular, which is really just an FM transmission, appeared, people became perverts. They were immediately labeled as sick, when really they didn't change and their radios didn't change, but what was available on the radios changed.
It just shifted from 49 megahertz to 800.
There you go.
This has been the first of two excerpts from a 1997 interview conducted by RAIN founder Hap Holly, KC9RP, with Ben Cobb, KC5CW, a telecommunications reporter for several industry publications in the Washington, D.C. area, editor and publisher of The Radio Guide, a handbook of the radio spectrum, and expert on the ECPA, the Electronic Communications Privacy Act. More observations from Ben about the brouhaha that surrounded the divulgence of a taped cellular phone call in 1997 involving then-House Speaker Newt Gingrich next time. This is The Best of RAIN, which updates Saturdays on therainreport.com and Saturday evenings on shortwave via WTWW, Lebanon, Tennessee, on 5085 kHz. I'm Will Rogers, K5WLR, inviting you to return with me to 1997 for the conclusion of this flap next week. Keep on hamming!